silence your cell phones and prepare for worship as we listen to the music that Lonnie has for us today. Beautiful, Lonnie. Thank you very much. Good morning again and welcome. Please register your attendance on the registration sheets that are located on the inside of the pews. Sign your name, pass it down. If there's someone new, maybe you could introduce yourself. And if you're new or visiting, please put some sort of email or phone number so in case we need to contact you. This morning, we welcome Lonnie McBee as our pianist. Thank you very much, Lonnie. And how nice it is to see Emanuele in church today. I look forward to you and Charles sharing your music with us today, too. So welcome. During the month of August, Pastor Cynthia will be sharing her travelogue slides in the fellowship hall in between the two services. So if you get a chance to be in the attendance, there we go, you'll enjoy it. I was there briefly this morning, and I wish I would have seen more. The Kurland Brothers Band will be playing this Thursday, August 17th, from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Nick. And John has invited us all to go and enjoy free live music. This is going to be a busy week in town, I know. Today at 2, there will be a brief prayer service at Wyoming Medical Center for patients who have passed away during the last year at Wyoming Medical Center. Mark your calendars for September 10th for kickoff Sunday, and if you have a desire to work with Children's Sunday School, contact Jennifer Grooms, and with Worship and Wonder, you can contact Erica Stupak. Also in the bulletin, you'll notice that Reverend Axworthy and Betty have a new address. They have officially moved now. This Thursday, Reverend McBride will be out of the office, Thursday and Friday, attending a meeting at the General Church office in Indianapolis, so prayers for safe travels. Look over the printed announcements to see if there's something I've missed, and I just realized I missed something. Tom, you had something you wanted to say?
only 3 weeks away for a weekend now bowling team for the church. I'm looking for one woman bowler. Madison can't do it because she got to go to college. It's got a really busy schedule. I'm going to try to keep this team all from the church, not to bring someone from the outside. I do got one person on the outside. She's a really nice girl. So anyone want to volunteer? I want to bowl this season. I'm really looking for them. Yeah. I'm bowling on the team, so we should be a pretty good team this year. So, and they're all happy because I'm bowling this league this year.
With your high scoring, I'm sure they are very pleased that you're on that team. Do we have any other announcements? Okay, let's all stand and greet our neighbor, and then we will sing our opening hymn found on page 86.
Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship that's listed in the bulletin. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge.
Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness.
Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue.
Be my rock of refuge.
A strong fortress to save me.
Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me.
Into your hands I commit my spirit.
Let us pray. Most gracious God, thank you for the promise that where two or three are gathered, you are there with us. Lord, be with us during this worship service as we celebrate the gift of life that you have lavished upon each of us. We ask that you would open our ears so that we may hear your voice. Open our minds so that we may receive your eternal wisdom. Open our spirits so that we may know your leading and guidance. And God, open our hearts so that we may receive your wonderful love. We ask all this in the glorious name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Seated. Our hymn of praise today is in the Purple Chalice Praise Songbook, page number 49, Sanctuary. We'll sing this simple refrain through two times and reflect on how we are a sanctuary for God. Was a preview of our communion hymn today, and it will be beautiful. In case you're on the same book as Lonnie, you need to trade books to the purple book, number 49. That's okay. Children in the sanctuary this morning who'd like to come forward for children's time. I know that several of our young people are out of town on summer trips. Jennifer Grooms is scheduled to be our worship and wonder leader today, our children's church leader. But I think if she wants to just hang out here with Mackenzie, she can. Okay. So Jennifer is going to go downstairs, see if we have any kids, and be here. They're thinking it may be held in October. We'll keep you posted when that date is set. We continue to pray for those who are living with cancer. Among them, please remember Mark Steinle. He had some difficulties this week with reaction to chemotherapy. Prayers for all of those who are in treatment. Thanksgiving for those who are in remission. And courage and strength for those who have just been diagnoused. Pam Rouse is homesick today with pneumonia, and Madison has bronchitis. So please pray for the Rouse family. Keith was able to sneak out of the house away from the germs and come to chapel today. It was good to see him. But prayers for all of them that they may have healing. Our community and world concerns today include the missionary Becky Owen, who serves in Swaziland. And if you have any connection at all with national news, I'm sure it has been heavy on your heart, as on mine, the events of this past week. We pray for peace in our world. Specifically, we pray for peace in North Korea, for wisdom and restraint among national leaders, that above all, nuclear weapons will never be used in our world. Prayers also for those affected in Charlottesville, Virginia, by a protest yesterday that was heated with hateful rhetoric. A counter-protest included several clergy and community leaders who were marching, and a car was driven into the protesters. Three lives were lost, and there were multiple injuries. Prayers for peace in our country, especially in this time when race relations seem to be so much worse than they have been for a long period. Our prayer partners this morning are the members of All Saints Episcopal Church in Torrington, Wyoming. Their pastor is Brian Gross. His proud mama, Elaine, is a member of our congregation. And a few weeks ago, Brian came and visited with one of our shepherding groups. He and his wife had a wonderful conversation with us about ministry in Torrington and what it's like to be an Episcopal priest and family in a small town in Wyoming. They're doing wonderful work with other churches in their community, trying to reach out and help people in need. Their congregation is growing, and they're attracting young people, which is very exciting. If you'd like to send greetings to Brian and the members of All Saints, there's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary that you can sign. At chapel today, a request was made to pray for people who are traveling. Among them, Darlene's family, Steve and Sue and Pat and Chiquita, are with us this morning. We're thankful for you all to be here. Prayers for Emanuele, who flies to London and then to Rome this afternoon. And he'll be visiting family later this week. Please tell Mom and Dad and Brother hi for us. Prayers also for people who in the coming week will be traveling or flying or going far from home, perhaps to come visit us here in Casper and experience an eclipse. Prayers for safe travels for all those who will be on the road. Monica Decker has an appointment on the 29th of August at the Mayo Clinic in Arizona. And Cal and Monica asked for prayers that the doctors will have wisdom to know how to treat her MS and help her deal with the health struggles she's been facing. Are there other concerns this morning that we want to name? Tom. Prayers for Ashley Campbell and for all of those who will be missing the great musician Glenn Campbell, who passed away. Let us bring all these concerns. Is there a hand way in the back? Let us bring all these concerns to the Lord as we pray together in silence.
O God, you are the solid rock on which we stand. You formed the earth beneath our feet. You cast the stars across the vastness of the universe. We marvel at your greatness and your concern for us. Lord, we name before you that sometimes in life it feels as if the earth beneath our feet has shifted. The ground on which we stand shakes. We are uncertain about the foundation of the social world around us. And so we turn to you, seeking the solidity of our faith in uncertain times. O God, for those who are shaken by fading memories and age, we pray for your comfort and your presence. For our dear sister in Christ, Wanda Hall, O Lord, we pray for days and moments of clarity, for days and moments of joy. We pray that you would ease any physical pain that she feels. Surround her with the support of her son, Randy, and family and friends, and bless her with peace. O God, for those who are shaken by grief, we pray for your comfort. Lord, we ask you to comfort the family of Marge Hawes. Be with her daughters, including Alexis in Arizona. Be with her sons, including John, who's helping to plan a memorial service. Lord, bless all of the Haas family with your peace and your presence. The beauty of fresh flowers at the front of our sanctuary is given in memory of Floyd Hawley, and so today we pray for his family as they continue to mourn his passing. O Lord, for those who are shaken by sickness or struggle, we pray for your strength and your healing. O God, we pray for Mark and for all who are living with cancer. We thank you for treatments and pray that they will be effective. We ask your blessing upon cancer researchers, upon cancer centers, oncologists, and nurses who provide care. Lord, we pray for family and friends of patients who live with cancer, for those who are newly diagnosed and may feel fear. Lord, we pray for your presence, your strength, and your healing. Be with Pam as she battles pneumonia and Madison as she struggles with a bronchial cough. Oh God, bless with healing their family, their home. Thank you that Monica has the opportunity to go to Mayo. We pray for wisdom for doctors as they work with her. Lord, we pray for Tom's friend, Ashley Campbell, and for all the Campbell family, and for those who are touched with grief at the passing of the great musician. We thank you, God, for the gift of song. O Lord, at times the songs your people sing shift from harmony to horrid discordance. We pray for the community of Charlottesville, Virginia, torn apart yesterday by protests rooted in hate, by a counter-protest seeking peace, by violence. O God, we pray for people who are so filled with fear that they have no way to express it except to hate those who are different than themselves. We pray for people who literally hate strangers they do not know because of the color of their skin or their ethnic background, their religion, or difference of belief. Oh God, we give you thanks for the diversity of the country in which we live, a nation made of native and immigrant peoples. Lord, we pray for peace among the citizens of this great country. We thank you for those who find the courage to stand in nonviolent ways as a witness to peace, as a sign of welcome for immigrants, for those who are diverse, for those who come from different backgrounds. We pray for healing in our country, and especially in communities in the South and other places where race tears people apart. Oh Lord, open our eyes anew to see the beauty of the human family that you have made in all of its diversity. Give us courage to speak and work for unity. Lord, we pray for the world in which we live. At a time where violence threatens not just on our city streets, but between countries, Lord, we pray for the citizens of North Korea. We pray for world leaders. We pray that wisdom and restraint may gain an upper hand and the temptation to rattle sabers would subside. Lord, we ask for strong leadership and for wise leadership. We pray for peace in North Korea, for peace between North and South Korea, between North Korea and China. We pray for peace in all of Asia and in all of our world. Lord, at times it seems as if the foundations of life that we take for granted, the gift of civil society and democracy, it seems as if the foundation on which we stand shakes and threatens to crumble. Remind us anew to stand firm on you, O God, the only source of life, the one who gives peace that passes all understanding. Help us to be faithful to you. Lord, we pray for those who work to bring your gospel down the street and around the world. We pray for Becca Owen in Swaziland, for Brian Gross and the members of All Saints Church in Torrington. O Lord, may your people everywhere in the world truly love and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I heard this old story the other day, that back when the Old West was being settled, pioneers traveled across the country to California and Oregon. In one particular spot on the eastern slopes of the Rockies, there was a large dirt-covered rock protruding in the middle of the trail. The wagon wheels were broken on it and men tripped over it. Finally, someone dug up the old stone and rolled it off trail into a nearby stream. The stream was too wide to jump over, but people used the stone as a step to cross the Cold Creek. It was there for years, until finally one settler built his cabin near the stream. He moved the old stone out of the stream and placed it in his cabin to serve as a doorstop. As years passed, railroads were built and towns sprang up. The old settler's grandson went east to study geology. On a visit to his grandfather's cabin, the grandson happened to examine the old lump of stone and discovered within that lump of dirt and rock was the largest pure gold nugget ever discovered on the eastern slope of the Rockies. It had been there for three generations and people never recognized its value. To some, it was a stumbling stone to be removed. To others, it was a stepping stone, and to others, it was just a heavy rock. But only the grandson saw it for what it really was, a lump of pure gold. Jesus is the rock, the precious rock that God has given us to be both the cornerstone and the capstone of our lives. Will you come to the rock today? In the summer months, we share communion by attinction. Please come forward down the center aisle, starting at the front pews. Take a piece of bread, dip it, partake, and then you can return to your seat on the outside aisles. If you prefer to remain in your seat, communion will be served in your pew. Please bring your tithes, offerings, and prayer cards forward, and you can place them in the offering trays. Turn to page 295 and sing as we prepare for communion.
In this very room, Jesus is here. We remember that night when he was with his friends in the upper room. While they were at table, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Dear Lord, whether we be in this very room, in a church somewhere miles away, on a mountain, by the ocean, anywhere we want to be, we can be with you. That's the joy and the blessing we have when we share your body and your blood. As we transfer these emblems to become what you have sacrificed for us, we understand that we are so blessed. And so we thank you for the gift of your life. We thank you for the gift of your teaching. And we thank you for all the people who need to hear your word. Amen.
Let us pray for our offering. We thank you, God, for the blessings in our lives. Use these gifts that others may know of your love and grace. May we live our lives in an attitude of thankfulness and generosity. Amen.
After 3 years, it is wonderful to have Emanuele back. And so when we found out for sure that he was coming, without his knowledge, I put him on the list to sing with me. So we hope you enjoy it.
His eye is on the sparrow, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. For his eye is on the sparrow.
First scripture reading will be a responsive reading, Psalm 84. You can find it on page 745 of your hymnal. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs to give you thanks for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my sovereign and my God. Happy are those whose strength is in you. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Israel. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield who bestows favor and honor.
No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you.
Thank you, Phil, for leading that psalm, and thank you, Charles and Emanuele, for that beautiful gift of music. This morning, I would like to share with you two passages of Scripture from the New Testament. The first is a few verses from Matthew, the 16th chapter. It's in the middle of a conversation between Jesus and the apostles. He asks, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answer, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. And then in verse 15, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Our second reading from the New Testament, listed in your bulletin on page 233 in the Pew Bible, comes from the first letter of Peter, the second chapter, 1 Peter 2, beginning at verse 4. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning, I have a little bit of show and tell. I was going to do this with the kids, but they're on vacation, so you all get the experience. Darlene, pick a stone, any stone. Pick a rock and pass it around. Dan, pick a stone. We have enough that several of you can have a rock, and after you've looked at it, pass it down the pew. Let someone else feel it. Oh, there's one left from first service. You can pass that one around. Joe, have a rock. I don't think any of them have a big hunk of gold. I love Randy Sue's illustration this morning. Have a rock. As the rocks come around and you have a chance to see it, feel it, take a minute to get to know that rock before you pass it on to somebody else. Some of them are a little bit dusty. They came from my yard. You might wipe off your hands or the pew. There's a really big one up front. This rock came from Peg Jackson's house. Peg, I don't know how you hauled this here during Lent, but I'm not surprised it's still around church. I think you need a crane to get it home. When you're holding on to that rock, feel its surface. Feel how hard it is. Feel its heft, its weight. Look at it. Think about what color it is. Does it have cracks in it? Does it seem smooth? The rocks you're passing around are different sizes and different shapes. Some of them are kind of rough. Some look like they've been rounded by a river. Some are light and some are dark. They're made of different minerals. Each one is unique. And yet they all have something in common. They're all a rock, after all. You wouldn't want to eat them. You wouldn't want to drop them on your toe. You wouldn't want to have to use it as a pillow under your head. It's a rock. This morning, our scripture invites us to think about the ways in which Jesus is the rock on which we stand. In Psalm 84, we heard a beautiful invitation to reflect on what it means to come to the house of the Lord, to find a place where we have shelter. Even the birds of the air and the sparrows that make their nest find shelter in God's love. Often when we think about the church, we think about a building like this, a church, a place in which we come seeking the presence of God. Sometimes it's a church made of stone, sometimes perhaps built of wood or bricks and mortar. The church we're reflecting on this morning is not just a physical church, but a spiritual one as well. We'll get to that in a minute. The cover of your bulletin and earlier the screen had a picture of St. Peter's Basilica. It is the main cathedral in Vatican City, home of the Pope, international headquarters of the Roman Catholic Church. It is an amazing place. If you're enjoying coming to the Travelogue slides in between the two services in August, I invite you to come next Sunday. We will visit through picture and narrative St. Peter's. I thought we were going to get there today, but we spent too much time at the Vatican Museum. So next week we'll see the rest of the Vatican. St. Peter's is an incredible church. It is, in fact, literally, physically, the biggest church in the world. The longest church ever built. It is a massive space. The center aisle from the front door all the way to the high altar is almost 800 feet long. 793 point something or other. The height from the floor to the top of the dome is tall enough you could put the Statue of Liberty inside the church. You could put a space shuttle inside the church, vertical, ready to launch, and give it room to wiggle around. It is a huge place. That long center aisle has marble mosaics inlaid on the floor. And every so often, walking out from the high altar towards the front door, there are small brass stars inlaid in the very center of the main aisle. Those stars mark how long other churches in the world are. If you could somehow pick them up and plop them down inside of St. Peter's, you could compare the distance. So if you walk from the altar about so far and look down at the brass star, that's how far Hagia Sophia would be in Istanbul. And there's still plenty of room inside St. Peter's. You walk a little further, there's another star on the floor. That's how far Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris would fit inside St. Peter's Church. There's still room to spare. If you keep walking and measuring on the floor, there's a star that marks the length of the inside main aisle of the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. And when you get to that star, the distance from there to the front door of St. Peter's is longer than the entire length of our sanctuary. There's room for all the other churches in the world to be stacked on top of each other inside of St. Peter's and still have space. It is huge. It is beautiful. The church took over 100 years to build. What an amazing project. Started in 1506, not finished until after 1615 or so. A huge place. St. Peter's is located where it is for a very specific reason. In ancient times, it was illegal in the Roman Empire to practice alternative faiths. Christianity was one of them. All Roman citizens were supposed to worship the emperor, viewed as a deity. Early Christians refused, following the tradition of Judaism from which they had inherited their faith, following the practice of proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ as their only Lord and Savior, they would not worship Roman gods or Roman emperors. When they proclaimed their Christian faith, they were in fact put to death. On a high hill in Rome, there was an acropolis, a city of the dead, a cemetery, a burial ground. It was there that the Emperor Nero executed Christians, martyred for their faith. Among those killed at that spot was the Apostle Peter. And so St. Peter was buried, along with lots of other folks, on a hill in Rome. About 400 years later, Constantine decided that it would be okay for Roman citizens to worship Christ. He had a conversion experience. He himself became a Christian and was baptized. His mother, St. Helena, his family began to practice the Christian faith. And so, with Constantine's permission, a church was built over St. Peter's grave, Old St. Peter's. It stood for 1,000 years or so. And then, as the Roman Catholic Church had grown stronger and more powerful, the popes decided St. Peter's wasn't big enough or grand enough. And so new St. Peter's, that still stands today, was started in 1506 on that spot. It took 100 years to build, but what a building it is. Not only the tile on the floor is made of marble, but the walls inside the church are magnificent works of art. Above the side altars, there are paintings by Renaissance masters, except no longer are they paintings. You see, oil on canvas deteriorates with time, and St. Peter's is intended to be as close to eternal as any structure on earth. So those paintings have been replicated to the tiniest detail with colored mosaic tile, tiny bits of stone and glass. Magnificent paintings of artwork made out of multicolored stone and small mosaic tile. It is a beautiful, majestic, amazing place. Understandably, with pride, the Roman Catholic Church is justified in saying we have the biggest church in the world, and some might say even the prettiest. It is an amazing place. It is a holy place. I know that some of you, when you come here to this sanctuary, you feel the presence of God, perhaps in a special way. I think when we worship in one place over and over, that place becomes sacred for us. It becomes a place where we meet God, because over time, over the span of our lives, over years, over weeks, we encounter the Holy Spirit in prayer and in sacrament and sharing communion and hearing scripture and singing songs. And I believe that there is somehow a little bit of invisible holiness that remains in those places where people pray for a long time. For me, there are places in nature that are sacred as well. When I stand at the foot of the Tetons and look at those majestic peaks, I know I'm in the presence of God. For no one but the Creator of the universe can make something so majestic and beautiful. When you walk into St. Peter's Basilica, I think even if you're not a person of strong faith, you sense that somehow this is a sacred place. This is a holy place. This is a special place. A place where people have prayed for generation upon generation. The truth is, though, that the Catholic Church is not the biggest church in the world. Because, you see, a church is not ultimately a building. A building is a place where the church meets, where the church hangs out, where the church spends time. The church is the people of God. And ultimately, the universal church. is all Christians, all who believe in Christ, all followers of Jesus who stand on the same confession that Peter made. When we say Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we join a universal body, Catholic and Protestant alike, evangelical and charismatic and fundamentalist, disciple, Presbyterian, Methodist, all of us who are Christian, all of us together, we are the biggest church in the world. Hundreds of thousands of believers around the globe, speaking every language, with skin of every color, with age from birth to centenarian. We are the body of Christ. For you see, the true church, the living church of God, is made not with brick and mortar or even marble and tile mosaic. The living church is made of living stones, of you and I, of people who are called to embody the very presence of God. Each one of us is like a mini sanctuary. And when we meet here for church on Sunday morning, all of our little sanctuaries come into this physical sanctuary together, and we're reminded we're part of something bigger than ourselves. My faith journey is not just me and Jesus, it's us together, the body of Christ. And when our church gets together here in Casper, we're reminded that we belong to the church universal. This morning, part of our disciple family is present with us from Tennessee. Pat and Chiquita are visiting. Their regional minister is Crystal Williams. She did church camp with Charles and I in Illinois years ago. It's a gift to see you all here. Please tell Crystal hi when you go back home. Before worship, we were talking together about how yesterday Crystal was very distressed. Perhaps you were too. Throughout the day, in between doing other things, I kept checking posts on Facebook from friends who were in Charlottesville. Charlottesville, Virginia, yesterday was torn apart. It was a sign of a ripping of the social fabric that we're experiencing as a nation. And it is distressing for people who care about one another. To be honest, part of me just doesn't quite get it. I honestly don't understand why someone would put on a Ku Klux Klan outfit, pick up a torch, and walk down a city street and yell something hateful just because there are other people who have different colors of skin. Now, I know that some of those folks have lived life experiences that have put them where they are. But I'm thankful that they're not the only ones speaking in our country right now. There are other voices trying to balance what is being said. Friday night, there was a prayer service at a church on the University of Virginia campus. A friend of ours was there. Brian Gray is a disciple pastor for several years. He was the minister at First Christian Church in Scottsdale, Arizona. He officiated at Charles's mom's funeral. His wife, Susan Gray, has just been called as the national president of the Unitarian Universalist Church. She was one of the speakers at that Friday night prayer service. I continued to watch throughout the day yesterday as Susan posted reflections on what it was like to actually be in Charlottesville. I don't get it, and yet maybe I do. Maybe there is some small part of me that, to be honest, is lucky to be white. My great-great-grandparents were never enslaved. My great-great-grandparents immigrated to this country from other countries. But their skin looked enough like their neighbors that they really weren't ostracized. Maybe there is some small part of me that just because I was born white is lucky to live in a country where for generations there's been an advantage to have white skin. So maybe what I don't get as much as I want to and try to, maybe what I don't get is the fear that an African-American sister like Crystal Williams must feel when someone stands up with a torch and puts on a KKK hood and shouts a racial slur. Because that hatred isn't actually directed at me, but it's directed to someone I know and someone I love. Maybe I just don't get any of it. I don't get why we can't love one another. Perhaps even at the age of 50, my faith is still simplistic enough that I honestly think all people are God's children. We're put here on earth to love each other, so why don't we do it? That's what I don't get. In the first letter of Peter, we hear a reflection on how, as followers of Christ, we're called to be living stones. At our best, we are solid and strong and sure of our faith. We are like Peter, who, when we're asked, "Who do you say Jesus is?" we answer with every confidence, "Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the Savior of the world." And yet it was also Peter who, when Jesus was arrested, denied knowing him to save his own neck. We are called to be living stones, and at our best, we are solid and strong. But there are times when we're cracked a little too. There are times when, like Peter, we're a little unsure. If not unsure about our faith, unsure about what to do in a world in turmoil. Do we stand with the nonviolent protesters who are seeking peace? Do we stay home and pray for them? Do we engage in dialogue with people who see things differently than we do and risk being uncomfortable? Or do we keep silent, only to be reminded that if the stones were silenced on Palm Sunday, in fact, they would have shouted out by Easter? We are called to be living stones. At our best, we are multicolored like the mosaics inside St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican. But at our worst, we hear Scripture differently than that. In 1 Peter 2, we can understand the words of the Bible in more than one way. When I hear these words, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people," what I hear is that we belong to God and we belong to one another. You are a chosen race. You are the followers of Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, who welcomes all who confess their faith to come into the kingdom of heaven. That's how I hear that text. But I'm wise enough to know that those same words might sound different to someone else. You are a chosen race. If you think because you're white, you are chosen, because you have had privilege all your life, and that's the way it should be, and you're afraid someone else is going to take it away from you, you can actually justify that position by quoting Scripture. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Oh, yes, my friends, America is supposed to be a Christian nation. Therefore, we should kick out anybody who doesn't believe exactly what we believe. Lord, forgive us when we pervert your word. when Jesus and Peter talked together, and Jesus asked, "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Son of the living God." At that moment, Jesus gave him a new name. He said, "You are Petros," in the Greek. "You are Petra. You are the rock. You are Peter. On this rock, I will build my church." The Roman Catholic Church has taken that verse literally. And on the rock that covers the grave of the Apostle Peter, they've built the biggest church in the world. But Jesus wasn't talking about a Roman Catholic basilica that would be built a few hundred years later. Jesus was talking about the church universal built of living stones founded on the confession of faith that Peter made. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. On that we stand firm." We are called to be living stones. What happens to living stones when the ground starts to shake? We feel a little shaky, too, a little uncertain. We go about our daily lives. We go to work, feed our family, turn on the TV at night or open the newspaper, and hear North Korea has nuclear weapons pointed at Guam. When I hear that, I think about Bill Singleton, a member of our church who has friends who live in Guam because he lived there for many years. And part of me is afraid. But then I get up the next day and I go to work again and I pray again. Even for the leader of North Korea who sees things in a way I just don't get. And I get up the next day, and I pray for other world leaders, some of whom speak for peace and some of whom try to speak in strength, thinking that will prevent violence. My friends, I spent a whole week thinking about a sermon that would talk about living stones and how we're kind of like the Vatican because we're part of a big church and it's a beautiful thing and it's made of mosaic tile. I thought I had it all figured out. And then Charlottesville happened yesterday. And I just wasn't sure what to say. And I think maybe that's the most important thing for us to say sometimes. Sometimes we don't know the answer. We don't know how to end racism in a country that's been racist since day one and sometimes admits it and sometimes doesn't. But as people of faith, as followers of Christ, as those who belong to God who created all people in God's own image, we have to keep working to try to figure it out. And maybe it's important to say, we don't know what to do about North Korea. We don't know what to do about world leaders who aren't quite keeping the peace like we wish they would. Yet maybe it's not my job to figure out, but my job to pray. So this morning, I'd like to invite my brothers and sisters in Christ, the other living stones who are here with me, to just pray with me. If you would. Lord Jesus, you are the solid rock on which we stand. We thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you for those times in life when, like Peter at his best, we are sure that we know who you are and what you call us to do and who you want us to be. Yet we also confess, O Christ, that because we are living stones, not made of granite, because we live and change, and within you we live and move and have our being, we confess to you that sometimes we're like Peter at his worst, and we doubt or are uncertain. O holy rock, come again in the world in which we live. where foundations are shaking. Give courage to those who work for peace. Give forgiveness to those who misinterpret your word of love and distort it, shouting hate. Help us, God, when we're unsure of our next step. Help us to be living stones ever connected to you. Amen. Our hymn of dedication today is Built on the Rock, number 273. If there's anyone here who is looking for a church home, you're invited to join us at First Christian by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. If there's anyone here who feels the foundation of life is shaking and you need someone to pray for you, talk with one of our elders, talk with me sometime during the week. Let's help one another on the journey. Let's stand and sing together, Built on the Rock, number 273. May Christ bestow blessings upon you this week. A reminder that we have coffee and refreshments downstairs in Fellowship Hall. We encourage you to stay and visit, enjoy a time of fellowship. Charles and Emanuele are going to sneak out real quick and head to the airport. It is good to be together in the house of the Lord. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for being the solid rock on which we stand. Thank you for being with us even in uncertain times. Bless your church universal, your people, to speak boldly for peace, to act through nonviolence, to bring unity. Lord, we pray for healing in the world in which we live, and that we may somehow be part of it. Make us living stones connected to you as we go forth to love and to serve. In the name of Jesus, amen.